this computer, and we're doing it. So welcome to the Workforce Affinity Group. I'm monitoring you all in terms of muting you or not. Please feel free to talk. We're very excited to have a guest speaker. I want to thank our fabulous co-chairs. You guys, they really work hard behind the scenes to make this presentation special for you all, and they are interested in any kind of topics that you're interested in. Many of you filled out our end of the year evaluation. Thank you so much. We got a lot of good ideas, but if you have any more, make sure you let us know. Sarah Welch from Pittsburgh, give a big hello. There she is. And Amy Mazur from Boston. Thank you so much.
Hello, everybody.
I'll let you guys take it away.
Okay. Well, thank you all for coming once again. We're happy to have you. And what I thought I would do is introduce our speaker for today, Jane Mattson, who hails from the Boston area. She's a colleague and friend of mine who I'm going to describe a little bit, but the way that we're going to work it today is we'll have Jane share with us the information she has to share, and then there'll be opportunities for engagement as we always allow, and people can either put some information in the chat room or let us know if you're interested in more information as we go through this. And at the end, we can close with some reminders about future programming that we're going to be doing. I just want to make the announcement. Lisa, you're going to have to get off a little bit early today, right?
Thank you. I was just writing everyone in the chat because I forgot to mention that. Yes, so I'm sorry I won't be able to be with you till the end. We have a webinar on the grandparent survey that he can only do at this time. So I'm so sorry about that. But you'll keep me posted as to what happens.
Okay, and I assume that when you need to leave, we'll still be able to be on.
Yes.
Okay.
Good point. I have to go to another computer. So glad you said that.
It's not the same Zoom account, right?
No, it's not. Okay. Don't worry. I will leave my office. You guys will be fine.
Okay. All right, great. So so welcome, Jane. Jane, we are really happy to have Jane. I'm going to say a little bit about her background, and then she brings some new information with a book that she recently wrote. But let me say a little bit about Jane. So Jane is a career management expert and author with deep experience in corporate and private sectors of business. She's an accomplished facilitator, trainer, and coach, and she's known for inspiring and motivating individuals to explore new career options and to help them build sustainable confidence. Her company is Career Engage, and she works with early to mid-career professionals providing guidance and services that help them take charge of their careers. She partners with the Boston Young Professional Association as a career blogger and advisor. She's written articles and has been a contributor on career-related topics to Career Builder, Monster, CIO, Mashable.com, and other sites, as well as print publications including the Wall Street Journal and New York Times.
Wow.
Yeah, very impressed. We're happy to have her. A strong believer of giving back, Jane volunteers as a confidence coach with Budget Buddies, which is a Massachusetts-based nonprofit organization whose mission is to improve the financial literacy of low-income women. Jane is also a member of the Northeast Human Resource Association and active participant in their mentoring program, and she's also a member of the Human Resource Leadership Forum. She holds a master's from Lesley University and a bachelor's degree in human resources from Northeastern University. So we're happy to have you, Jane. And Jane has written a recently published book called You, Me, You, The Art of Talking to People, Networking, and Building Relationships, where she focuses her attention on how to develop relationships first before you even begin to reach out to help others. So we're really happy to have you here, Jane. Welcome, and take it away.
Why, thank you very much. I really need to shorten that bio the next time I give it to someone. It's like, oh boy. But thank you so much, Amy. And Amy, I was thrilled that you reached out to me. You know, Amy, we've been colleagues for many, many years. So I was thrilled to have the opportunity to talk about a topic that I am very passionate about, networking and relationships. So let me share my presentation with what I'm going to be talking about today.
Perfect.
The title of the book is You, You, Me, You, The Art of Talking to People, Networking, and Building Relationships. So I'm going to just go through a little bit of where it all began as far as how did this whole, I guess what I call it, love of relationships came from?
Jane, can I stop you for 1 second? Do you want to have it in slideshow just without the side thing? If you do, you can put it into slideshow. Do you want to do that? Do you see
slide? That's the slide master, correct?
No, where it says slideshow, I think, up at the top. Go up.
There it is. Yeah, okay, yeah, great. Yeah. Great. So does it come as slideshow now?
So then if you see where it says, now go to the next line, it says from current slide, go back down.
Beginning. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
There we go.
Perfect. So it all began here with my father, who gave me the book of Dale Carnegie when I was 15 years old. And he gave it to me after going to a flea market. And he said to me, honey, if you read this book, and this is the actual book that he gave me, How to Win Friends and Influence People, you will always be successful. And since I loved and had such admiration for my father, and I loved the way he dealt with people, I said, I got to read this book. So Dale Carnegie has been sort of my mentor, if you want to call, throughout my life on how to build relationships. And I read this book. I read it every year because I realized, and also it says it in the book, that it isn't a book that you read and it's like, oh, that was a great novel. It's a book that you read and apply the principle. When you read, you imply the principle. So this basis of How to Win Friends and Influence People followed me certainly throughout my career and served as a great foundation. Whoops, my little fingers get a little bit quirky here. So why did I write this book about relationships? And as we go further along, you will get a better understanding of the reasons why. We as career professionals deal with people who are in their job is to find a job. Their job is to be in transition. And through that process, we know that the key word is network. And what I realized as I was working with people was that they might have known what the word networking was. What was missing from what they knew was the how to build the relationship. And so I read so many articles about how to network, but what nobody was talking about was how to build relationships. And that was where the light bulb came on, where I'm going to start focusing more on how do you build the relationship first, and then the networking will come out of that. So that's some of the reasons why I wrote the book. And also, I guess, from a passion of having us come back to having conversations face-to-face, hoping that the next generation or this generation of people, all of us in technology and cell phones, that we kind of put down our phones. So there was a whole other array of why I wrote the book. But for today's talk, I'm going to focus on probably the business perspective of our world of career management. The one thing I felt that was real important as I was beginning to think about relationships and people was to know yourself. I'll never forget one time when I was coaching someone, and he was a CFO. And I remember sharing with him about how to network and what did he need to do. And he said to me one day, you know, Jane, I really don't like people. And I realized, and I sort of felt that as I was trying to help him, he was a finance guy, and that thought of networking just paralyzed him. And so not everybody is a lover of getting out there. We know that people, some are more extroverted, people are more introverted, people are shy. There's a whole bunch of reasons why. But in the world of how are you going to really develop relationships where we're going to be in for career success, I really felt it was important for all of us, especially when we're coaching people, understanding what is our paradigm? What do we really think of? And what are some of our beliefs? And so I really wanted, in the book, it talks about evaluating some of that. So for instance, when you meet someone new, do you remember something positive about them or, you know, or someone being critical? And we all know people that tend to go to the negative side. And that also does help, because what we always want to see is the good in people, because we're talking once again about relationships. So another question to ask yourself: do you find yourself becoming impatient or annoyed with others who are not like you? And it's the old, why don't they do what we're doing? And, you know, this right here, this topic, sort of what's going on even in society today, there's so much information that's coming in many, many different places. So these are just some questions that I thought for all of us to ask ourselves is what's really going on with our own internal. Do you believe that everyone has something to offer to contribute to the world, your world too? So often when I thought of this question in networking, when we talk about giving back, I don't know if any of you have experienced this thought from our candidates or clients. I have nothing to give. I have nothing to offer. And in reality, I believe we all have something to offer. And as we continue on with the presentation today, what you will be offering is yourself to listen to someone else and also be interested in everyone. So these are just some questions in this section of the book of knowing yourself. This quote, and it resonated with me. I believe it came, and I can't definitely find it again, but I don't know if anybody read the book, The Revolution Within by Gloria Steinem. And years ago, I had read that. And there is this quote that she has here: we are not responsible for what happened to us as children, but we are responsible for what happens to us as adults. So this part, it comes into the assessment of this relationship building, just like we do an assessment of, you know, our resume and what do we like to do. My style of coaching was, I always love to go in a little bit deeper, perhaps. I called myself probably a psychologist wannabe, because I believe that in this area, there are some trappings of us moving forward. So you, me, you. Maybe in the chat room, maybe we can have someone write something. With this title, you, me, you, does anybody have an idea of what I meant by you, me, you?
I took it to mean that there should be three you interactions for every one me interaction.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. Now, in our lives, is it usually like this? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And what I found was, and as I go and identify some characters that go along with us, that especially where we are today, it's focusing so much on ourselves. So you're absolutely right, Lisa, that the whole focus is you. It's all of you. Then it's about me. Then it's about you. And this is all about leaving this lasting impression. So some simple things to avoid sort of ping pong conversations when you are talking to people. So the you part says you want to start off by asking questions of the other person. And the other person is, you know, three or four. Four might be a little bit, maybe too much. Well, you better pace it. And ideally, if you are interested in that person and that person has something, even that person is not interesting for you, the more that you ask that person more questions about themselves, as we all know, they like to talk about themselves because no one does. So that's one way to start. Positive body language. We know that positive body language moving forward with our eyes open or our hands open allows someone to say, this person is using positive body language. I want to continue to go a little bit further. The fourth step, build your next question on what someone had said. So, you know, the first two is the you, the in here. So the three or four, it's like, this is the you in here. And then the third one is me. And the me could be, you know, asking another question, but maybe bringing yourself in. And that shows that you're listening. That shows that you're interested. And then, you know, as you continue to talk about yourself, emphasize what you've learned to have some things in common. Now, as you will look at this, it is not a, the person who is either in a networking meeting, you, the person who's meeting someone for the first time, you're not getting a lot of airtime. But it, the whole idea of it is to show interest in other people, interest in other people. So this, you know, we're going to continue to go a little bit further, but, you know, I'm trying to start off with some of the basics there. And if there's anybody has any questions, we are much more comfortable if you want to ask in between. So feel free to say, Jane, I have a question. I interrupt. So don't hesitate to do that. Oops. Okay. So the whole idea of it is make sure the other person walks away feeling heard. I betcha every one of us could say or think of one, two, maybe more people that never ask us a question about us, ourselves. They talk all about themselves. And so often we walk away from a situation where we don't feel heard. We don't feel people are interested. And we never want to walk away feeling that way. Mostly because we're not feeling so good about the person that we left. Now, if you are deliberate in that attempt where you're asking the person questions, you're asking them more, then you bring yourself in, and then you end with it, and you didn't get a chance to talk about yourself, that's different. Because that's you building a relationship with that person versus meeting someone that all they do is talk about themselves. So ideally, wouldn't it be great that we had all interaction feeling that we're heard? So some key things to remember in these basic conversations are avoid the trap of talking too much or too little when you meet someone. The too little part can be... For people who are curious, people who maybe the chatty Kathy, the people who are talking too little are maybe the shy people. And so we'll, you know, this you, me, you, we'll talk a little bit later, as I said, about even where more introverted people can use this technique to draw others out where they feel more comfortable. They don't have to talk a lot. But in just in general, avoid the trap of talking too much, especially when you meet someone new. Ensure the other person goes away feeling heard about meeting you and would enjoy seeing you again. Show interest in others. This is really the key, is showing interest in what other people do. You can imagine after I wrote this book and was, you know, working with the concepts, that how much my mind just goes to the interest part when I talk to people or when I say, you know, what are you doing right now? And I'll say, oh, I wrote written a book. And people will say, oh, that's nice. And they walk away versus, oh, that's really interesting. Tell me a little bit more about it. And when I share that, it isn't so much about me, Jane Mattson, that I want them to know about my book. There's a little bit of that, of course, but it's just in general that if someone has done something that is a little bit above the norm, you do want to say, my goodness me, that's really, really wonderful. What is the book about? Just one question could make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. So that becomes a real important of showing interest in others. Be curious. That's the whole thing. It's about when I would be talking about networking and questioning, I'd say be like the inquisitive child. Just be curious about the why, the why, the why. So these are some four things to remember. And then the fifth one, you know, when you're engaging, whoops, I kind of went there. When you're engaging with others, it's all about, you know, being interested and having them continue to talk. So let's talk a little bit about networking. And the population that you are all dealing with. So maybe Amy, if maybe someone can share, yourself or other one, about the population as far as experience and how comfortable are they with networking in general, from the age, partly from the demographics. Can we have a discussion about the comfort zone?
So basically, I can say that this particular group that you're speaking with has a pretty wide range of clients that they work with. Mm-hmm. So we probably, many of us represent different populations. So if people do want to say something in the chat room, I can share it with regard to who your population is and how comfortable they are, because it ranges from people who are, we have people who are part of this workforce group who have clients who don't necessarily speak English as a first language. We have people who don't necessarily have a college degree. We have people who are who have been out of the workforce for a while. We have re-entry women. We have people who have been incarcerated. I think it's a pretty wide range, and I know I'm missing a lot of people. So we have professionals who are returning. So people could it's a pretty wide range.
Yeah. So
I unmuted everyone if anyone wants to say anything.
So Lisa just unmuted if you want to speak.
Good. Yeah. So I'd like, you know, so Amy, you had talk about a breadth of audience. And the networking, is that still a focus of in your population that you try to encourage your clients to do networking? And what does that really look like in sort of your world as you're working with your clients?
You asking me, or you want some other people?
Well, the group. Yeah, the group, yeah, as far group. As okay. Anyone, talk a little bit about when you're talking about networking with your group, with your clients, what does that conversation sound like with them?
Yeah. So would some other folks like to chime in on this? And you can talk without having to chat.
Lisa from Buffalo here. My clientele ranges in age from maybe a 16-year-old autistic high school student to a 75-year-old retired business owner. That's the range of people that I'm seeing right now. So all ages, background, socioeconomic levels, et cetera. I would say people that come to me for private career counseling are likely not using their network optimally. When I really think about it, it's one of the things they forget about. And I know the way in which I work with them is some training in, well, I wouldn't say informational interviewing, but I really try to help them use their network strategically and understand that it's also a reciprocal, that it's a reciprocal process. When they think about it, they have more availability than they think, and that they also have more to offer people than they think. So it's I think networking is also a word that people don't like, because it infers a phoniness. And
yes.
I love your concept of relationships, because that's what it's really about.
Exactly. Thank you, Lisa. And if you think about, I know I really wish that we collectively, if we changed it to how comfortable are you with building relationships, that would say, well, I'm pretty comfortable. And even then they might, you know, there's this foundation, there's a basis, because we all have some conversations with some people. But you're absolutely right about the networking part. And that's why I really try to move that, because it just sends this horrible, you know, visceral effect with people there. And so, I'm sure across the board, networking is building, maintaining relationships, right? For mutual benefit, to access information, share information and contacts. And the part about the building and the maintaining relationships, and once again, that's several years ago, I sort of moved away from the networking and really talked about, so let's talk about how do you build relationships? And I would really, you know, have them think about work. Work, they build a relationship a certain way in work. Well, then how are you building it outside of work? Because you have to have some relationship part. And what I discovered, what it took away sort of the nervousness. So I'd say, okay, now I want you to go out and I want you to have a cup of coffee with, you know, three people that you really enjoy spending time with. Can you do that? And so it took away, it's sort of like, okay, I can do that. It still is a challenge because then the networking part is you've got to know what information and context to share, but it was just a way to kind of lighten actually the topic there. So Lisa, you had mentioned, which is so true, relationships means reciprocity. And it's about giving back to those who help you. And the more that you can even offer, I don't know if others on this call have read Keith Ferlazzi's book, Never Eat Alone. It's a well-known book. It's an awesome, if anyone hasn't read it, I would recommend actually getting the audio. The audio is by Keith himself. He talks about what it was like when he was younger. He's vulnerable and he talks about the things that he did. And now as he's grown and an adult, he talks more about the reciprocity, relationship, giving back. So it becomes an important thing here about giving back, and it's giving back by showing interest. So it's about asking yourself, you know, do you look forward to networking or do you dread it? And most people, as we know, they dread it. And I believe it's because that we collectively have to find some way where it becomes comfortable. And that's why I've tried to take the approach of taking the networking out, but really focusing on the relationship part. And that's what's going to really help you, because when someone likes you, they're going to want to help you further along. So that this is maybe something that we could all use in.
But Jane, I have a question.
Oh, please do. Please do.
Because I think that it's very hard for people to sometimes connect, especially when you're feeling so badly about yourself, you know, and, you know, how do you encourage people to, you know, have the confidence to talk to somebody that they don't know, to say you, me, you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the things that I so strongly recommend that when you are starting off, do not start with someone that you don't know. And I feel that so many times people, people in transition start with people they don't know. And of course, you might not be comfortable. So this is a skill. This is a skill that we're teaching them.
Right.
And, you know, so I would say I would find that person. So this, like, what do you do when you meet someone new and you want to get to know them better? Focus on. So let's talk about your favorite colleague at work. Who is that person? And why do you really like that person? Why are they helpful? So it's about starting them off with someone they know where they can feel vulnerable. And it's about the confidence. You meet with one, then you ask another. Because we can't, if we let our clients go right to the top, as I say, right away, then I think we're doing a disservice by letting them do that. Because I wouldn't know what I want to be doing when I get there. So the confidence is built up one step at a time. And further along, Lisa, I'm going to go into a little bit more of things that it might make it a little bit easier, that lightens it a little bit, because I wanted to have a fun with it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
So relationship, it's all about thinking what is it you want to be doing and how well do you want to do it. So my definition is it's not about telling someone about you. And when you're in a search, it's not about, I'm going to tell you what I can do for you. Because you got to really first find out if I need you to do something for me. So it's about listening, asking questions, focus on them, then you, and then leave with a lasting impression. So the shy person, the not confident person, Lisa, is the person that is just going to be asking someone else. And you can even just practice that, you will find that when you are asking someone more about themselves, they feel better about themselves, which is going to make you feel better in return. So it's about creating connections. It's not engaging in a transaction. That becomes important. So the U is about initiating. It's about initiating a conversation. And it's you, then you're engaging. So I want to initiate, I'm engaged. So I'm initiating with you, I'm engaging with you. I'm going to develop now, and I develop by bringing me in a little bit more. And then now it's about, I'm going to strengthen it. And how do I necessarily do that? The first stage, nice to meet you, Jane. Why did you come to this event today? Do you know anybody else here? Is this your first event? And share about you. This is my first event. And you had mentioned that you knew, Jane and Mary Lou. Well, I know them too. So it's about bringing them in commonalities. And then now it's about the balance of the conversation. So for the person that isn't confident, it's about asking others questions, and it's about giving them some questions that can help them with just getting the conversation started. Oh, I think I'm going a little cuckoo here on my backlash. Amy, maybe you can direct me, Amy, with I'm going backwards. If I want to go back to my slides. Yeah. Amy, do you know how to?
So, Jane.
Sorry, Jane.
Sarah, can you, I've kind of yeah. like.
Exit your full screen.
Exit my full screen.
Doesn't she want to just hit previous? I think she wants to hit previous.
Or can you just hit the back button on your keyboard? Just hit the back arrow. That'll probably do it.
Yeah, exactly. So bear with me here because
Sorry, I was on mute. I didn't realize.
I muted you by mistake.
Okay, that's all right. Thank you. You know how it is, and it's so simple, and I'm like doing all this here and there. So it's about bringing in the conversations. And then the last part is about the develop part. I am passionate about handwritten notes. I'm passionate about, having your name on it. I'm going to keep on going back to the person that's a little uneasy about relationship building. Now, I happen to do the old-fashioned way, but you can send an email, you can send a text, depending on who you are. But this part is important for the everyday, for the relationships. So in this everyday situation here, we come across so many people that are going to be dominating conversations. And I hope that after our conversation today that you find interest in reading the book. And of course, I'd love you to buy the book, but the book goes into a little bit more about how to deal with some of these people. Your self-absorbed Sarah, Hijack Harry. And Hijack Harry is the person that when you are starting to talk about yourself or you're talking about a situation, Hijack Harry takes over and starts talking about himself. And all of a sudden you're talking about Harry's conversation versus your conversation. So how do you deal with some of these people that in your life becomes an important part in the business world, but also in the professional world itself? So I have Hijack Harry and Humble Hannah, the ones that's really quiet and shy. And the more that Hannah can ask questions about other people, the better off that she will feel comfortable because people will want to be helping her. We got Needy Ned. Ned is needy, and Ned is going to be the one that is just going to be me, 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 me. And you really want to make sure that it's not about Ned and you kind of move away from Ned. I want to go back. So one of the ways that, so as we have this conversation here, here's, this could be Hijack Harry. This could be Needy Ned. So does anybody, I'd love to hear someone else's, you know, sort of way of how would you get, when you're in this group and Needy Ned or Hijack Harry is talking all about himself, what do you think you could do to move the conversation away from Harry to someone else? Does anybody have any suggestions?
And can I encourage people to, I think we want to hear from other people around their experiences with networking so that you can really get a sense of who you have and also some of these issues that come up in your own workplaces.
Yes.
So please share what's going on for you in your own.
Because we want this to be relevant for you and because this is your group. So let's talk about questions you may have around this topic.
Thank you. Exactly.
So let's wait and hear if anyone has anything that they would like to say. I'm unmuting everyone again. How about you, Adina? You came on. I can't hear you. We can't hear you.
Adina, you can type if you can't.
Yeah, we're not hearing you, Adina.
What a bummer. I don't know, maybe on the bottom you can turn your volume up on your computer or make sure your speakers are.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes. The CEO's office is right next door to me, so I'm trying to keep it a little bit, not too crazy loud. For us, yeah. So I work with people of all ages and various disabilities and, so yeah, we of course we encourage people to use their network where possible and we guide them on that. And for me personally and the other members on my team, we do a lot of networking and relationship building with other organizations in the community and especially with employers. We're always with potential employers and current employers, and we're always in obviously trying to build that network. So my focus is super employment disability related.
So is any of this helpful to you when you think about your clients?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's kind of a recap of things that, you know, kind of we know already about best communication skills. Everybody comes across, even in our personal lives, like the...
True.
I was thinking about some people in my personal life when you were talking about some of this. Various personalities, but for sure, even with clients, we have to, it's a skill, right? How to direct a conversation. And we definitely have, you know, some clients who can monopolize a conversation and get wrapped up in, you know, whatever's going on in their personal lives. And we need to move forward and focus on, you know, it's not really under the topic of networking. It's more about, you know, guiding the conversation, right? About, you know, to towards the action plan or what have you.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that falls under networking. It's all about communication, right?
It's all about communication. How about Nanette or Jennifer? Jane, if you can stop your sharing of your screen, then we'd be able to see everyone. Terrific. Thank you. Does anyone else have anything they want to say? Anything move them in this conversation while we're all together?
And I want to add, I wonder if people have actual networking, either workshops or programs that sound either similar to or different from the kinds of things that Jane is talking about. So either what Lisa just said, just where are you in your own experience with networking, given what Jane's sharing and what you've done before in your organizations?
We offer a networking workshop for our candidates for both Steps to Success and the Comeback Career Program. So some of what Jane mentioned so far is helpful for us to think about how we can revamp it, as far as I think teaching our candidates a little bit more of concrete skills as to how to network. We usually tell them, you know, to network effectively, you want to be able to allow the other person to talk and share something about yourself and be able to offer something, but we hadn't presented it in that you, me, you format, which I think is helpful. So I think bringing in some of those suggestions that are maybe more concrete for our clients would be helpful in, for them to navigate networking.
Right, I think concrete suggestions
are important. Starting with somebody that you know a little bit instead of just starting with a stranger. because I think going to networking events and things like that can be a little bit intimidating when you're meeting all new people for the first time. So to actually start with somebody you know, I think kind of starts acclimating you to the idea of now going out to meet brand new people that you've never spoken to before.
So true.
I agree a lot with Angelica. I found some value in, especially with the population we work with, which is one of the populations, young adults with mental health challenges or autism spectrum disorders. I think kind of giving them the more concrete tools. And also I was thinking it might help for them to be able to identify those, you know, needy Ned or whatever, and make sure that they're not falling in those categories as well, to kind of be like, okay, this is not the person I want to be in this conversation. Make sure I'm not that person. So I think that that could be useful to apply into our workshops as well.
And Jane, I know I cut you off a little bit. I know you have
some
examples of some people. I mean, you have the, you know, the needy Ned and the other. So you may want to just finish up those people and see if people relate to that a little bit.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I want to also see if there's somebody else who might have a thought.
Go on, Jane and Amy. Is there, Elise, did you want to say something?
What I was going to say is that I use an example a lot with my clients. They also, most of them hate networking. I do use the term making connections rather than networking. But I compare it to a garden. And I'll tell them that if you're looking to have a garden, you can't just throw seeds on the ground and do nothing and expect something to happen. You know, you have to cultivate it, you have to water it, you have to feed it. So, you know, I remind people that this is a process. It takes a lot of steps. And you can't just come right out. Most people come to me and say, well, I asked everybody I know, you know, if for a job. So we can't start, you know, that's the last thing. In fact, I don't even encourage people to bring up at all, I'm looking for a job. Just, you need to have a conversation with people. You need to get them to know you, to connect with them or reconnect with them. And then maybe at some point down the line, they'll be comfortable helping you. But you can't come right out if you haven't spoken to somebody in years and ask for a favor. So I encourage people to take a few steps backwards, slow it down, and like you're saying, develop a relationship rather than just come right in, ask what you want, and then be upset because people aren't helping you.
Right. Very good advice. How about Jeff in Philly? What do you guys do at Jeff's? You got a big organization there. Are you on the call?
I am still here, yep. I think my head goes to obviously the networking skill and the building relationship stuff is important, and we approach it in a lot of the same ways and then in a little bit different ways depending on, we have all these different target populations, as I'm sure everybody else does. Lately, though, I've been trying to make sure that we build into our approach the fact that it's not just the networking for the out of work, but to continue building the network, because I find that our clients, when they disconnect from work, fall so far so fast because they don't continue to build that network at their job and among other peers in the sort of where they're working and things like that. And so my head has been, and probably came up on another call because it's just, I sound like a broken record what I'm talking about, but I am really, after having done all the pre-unemployed work for so many years, I really want to try to figure out how to continue to provide these wraparound services for folks that we get into that door, rather than make them become sort of unemployed to see us again, that we could continue to support past these small little retention periods. And so this just is getting my wheels spinning about how to maybe with some of the alumni groups that we're starting to create and the mentoring programs that we have for former participants and current participants in our program, that this be a constant refrain, that it's an ongoing, it's like, just like learning should never stop, building these networks should never stop.
Good point. Very good point. I love the idea of alumni networks. I don't know how many other people are doing that. Maybe that's something to talk about.
I'm sorry.
Sheila, did you have something to say?
I had something I was going to
say.
We had something interesting happen on Friday. I had a group for, every once in a while, I have a women's only group. And there's an organization, I don't know if it's in other places, Dress for Success. So they put on these programs for women. So we had one on Friday about resilience. It was a wonderful program. But it was interesting. So we, in the evaluations, it was, we asked for suggestions on future topics. And a number of the women talked about communication skills. And so the next program that we have, which again is going to be just for women, is going to be on public speaking, communication skills, because I think in particular, at least a lot of the women that are coming to these kind of programs really struggle with that. So I think, again, taking a few steps backwards and really just talking about basic, you know, how do you walk into a room, and especially when you're not feeling very confident. So we're going to start having things, but just for women.
So that's terrific. If anyone has written any of this down, if anyone has trainings, I mean, we'll definitely take, if you want to give it to us, Jane, your PowerPoint, so that we can have it in our resource network. If you have ideas, trainings, send them to me so we can put them in the resource library so we don't have to reinvent the wheel and everyone can learn from each other, because you all are doing excellent, you know, work. I don't know what Jason is doing in Detroit with whoever is with him. What are you guys doing? And what's her name?
Hi there. This is Phyllis sitting behind me.
Phyllis
just joined our joined us here at the end of December.
Welcome.
We do similar things to what I'm hearing. We do a networking group. We call it Career Club. People that are working, coming together on a weekly basis as they want, an opportunity for them to continue to network and learn and to grow, grow that way. Something that we'll do a little bit different, but we're constantly pushing the networking and trying to impress upon the people we work with that are looking for jobs, and the struggle of trying to encourage them to continue that networking once they find a job, whether it is to maintain their LinkedIn accounts and to continue to network and to continue to see themselves as a resource for other people. But that's something that we're talking about and trying to figure out how to do that more effectively.
Right. Makes sense.
Just an add-on here in Boston, at the JVS in Boston, we do a workshop called Networking for Introverts.
Oh, great. Send that to us.
Yeah. I can share that. And that's really been an interesting and valuable workshop for us, because obviously, as Jane talked about, as we've all talked about, it can be hard, and then it's even harder for people who have an inclination not necessarily to even want to do it. So the only other comment I wanted to add is that I think a critical piece of this feels like it's also related to sort of the authenticity of it, because I think when you build relationships, it's not just, I think, Elise, you were saying, you know, tossing those seeds. And it feels like if you toss the seeds and then nothing happens, that doesn't work. And then even if you toss seeds and you're sort of faking it, it doesn't work. So it's kind of, you have to have that authentic element to it, which I think is critical. That has to be the high point.
So does did Pam from Pittsburgh want to say something?
I mean, I think it's definitely, it's sort of getting to our clients kind of where they're at a comfort level. And I think, you know, some clients need to almost have sort of that script, or sort of how do I actually, you know, start that conversation, and they need it more concretely, versus other clients are more apt to sort of say, okay, give me the overview. You can say to them, you, me, you, and they get it, but other clients need a little bit more direction in terms of that.
Right. A lot of clients do.
Yeah, one of I have presented this to a group of HR folks who were in transition, and I have an exercise that I do, and I give one person a you and one person a me, and then I give them a question. for them to kind of get in the groups. And I'll just go around and I'll observe. And, you know, the person that has the me, I'll say, who's the you and who's the me? And the person will say, I'm me. And I'll say, well, how come you're doing most of the talking? And it's a habit. And so people are just, it's a natural thing that when people start talking, you want to get into the conversation. So the concept of the you, you, me, you, and the relationship part, it's practice. And for some people, it comes natural. Some people, they have to work on it. But it becomes the part that it takes away from I have to ask someone for something. And that part is really, really difficult for even asking. And so I just want to make a comment. So Sarah, you had mentioned about the characters, and you know, in the book I'll say, does any of these characters sound like you? And I'm sure we're all guilty of one of these characters along the way, maybe someone a little bit more than not. But it does maybe, to your point there, I think it was you, Sarah, that talked about maybe showing your clients. And I did it in more of a lighthearted way. You know, I kid about my husband all the time, and I'll say, hi, Jack Harry, were we talking about me or were we talking about you? And you can have some fun with it without being really, you know, too obtrusive with it, which becomes important. What I think is so the networking part that... the reason, so what I would really encourage all of us is that we can say what networking is, and everybody gets that. However, it's if we focus a little bit more, so let's talk about how do you build relationships. And I'll just give you a quick little story and I remember the exact moment where I just said, the you, you, me came out. I was working with this senior level woman who was in transition. Now, I understand that your population is very different. But I was working with a woman who said, I network. I do that extremely well. And she was out there talking. And one time I said, so what did you learn about Amy? What did you learn about her? And she, serious as can be, said, I don't think I asked her one question. And I had made an assumption that she knew what relationship building was all about. And in reality, if we take away the word, the networking, because I feel the more we give these analogies with clients, they just don't get it. And that's why to break it apart and then maybe have them practice with it or have them use examples of the what that is necessarily like as far as the you. And just maybe, you know, kind of practice it back and forth. And use it in the networking about asking questions first of the other person, then talking about themselves, and then ending with the other person with clearly, is there anything I can do for you? And have them try that even with their friends to use that versus approaching it first from the networking 30-second commercial and I need some advice and how can you help me? So that just might be a good switch for candidates.
Yeah, thank you. Are other people have other experiences with their organizations around this, or we can turn it back to Jane for a little bit more of her PowerPoint. Anything else people want to share?
Hi, it's Lisa from Buffalo again. One of the things that I try to encourage people, especially those that are unemployed or are looking to make a switch, is that the relationship building or the networking is not only about your field, that if you have an avocational activity or community activity or something that you've always wanted to do, it's a good way to meet people. And I think especially for those that are introverted, coming together around doing something in a united way is easier than just approaching people that they have some commonality. For example, well, the members of the group, this is, you know, a professional organization, but anybody on this call, I wouldn't hesitate to reach out to because I feel as if I know many of you now. But also, maybe my network extends to people, my college alumni group or maybe my wine tasting club or something of that sort, that you don't know where that opportunity or connection may come from. So if people are feeling a little bit outside of their workplace, maybe it's the avocational things that can give them a boost in terms of the relationship.
That's good. Thank you. Anybody else? We'll give Jane a little bit more time to sort of do some of her PowerPoint. Okay, go ahead, Jane. You want to share again?
Yep, excellent. Okay, so let's just kind of wrap up with, let me just talk a little bit about Distracted Diane and who Diane is. She is the individual that you will be maybe at a networking meeting or maybe not even networking, and she's not having eye contact with you. She's looking beyond. She's looking beyond. And she's not really interested too much in what you have to say. So you can do one thing. You can maybe sort of acknowledge and say and extract yourself from the situation and acknowledge in some respect. It sounds like you might, are you looking for someone at the event that, you know, maybe sort of break her eye contact by just acknowledging that? Or is she so distracted that she isn't interested? You can extract yourself from the conversation. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I know you probably want to meet some other people as well as I do. So the characters help you identify some of these people. So sticky situations. So a few ways to get engaged with someone new. And this is for the person that has been to a new event. Do you live here or do you grow up here, live in the area? Do you have family members that live nearby? If you're a guest at someone's house, how do you know the host or hostess? Once again, these are just one of those initial conversations that you have. I'm not going to go into this particular part because I don't think it's necessarily applicable to this group, but it was really, I actually developed this. I have nieces that are in the dating field. And when I knew that there was this hidden job market, I had this idea of the hidden compatible market. So if we have anybody on the call that is looking to date, this is the area you might want to look at to use as far as out there when you're talking to people. I actually had a little fun with this as well. Pushy Pete. So Pushy Pete is the one that is the one that just is going to continue to push and be a little obnoxious. Now, relationship building, I had a situation with Pushy Pete and he had to do with a salesperson, didn't ask about what I needed. I decided to give him a second chance, and the second chance he was all about the relationship part. So Pushy Pete, sometimes you need a Pushy Pete sometimes in your life there. But it's all about, is there enough common interest to continue? Not everybody that we meet is someone that we want to connect with. So it's really about if it is putting the you, me into play. The social media, this I think is the important thing of what is going on today. We've missed this opportunity. It's the person that's taking the selfie. It's the person that's on the laptop and they're not even having conversations. I think we might be all familiar with this this model of communication, of how we communicate, our body language, tone, and literal. So this part here, I think even when we're talking about relationship and meetings, to focus on how important our body language is of showing interest. And I can't remember, someone on the call talked about everybody has a need, meet people where they're at. And so this whole concept and everything I'm talking about isn't, everybody will take this from a different approach. Everybody will take this from a different approach, but just paying attention that what becomes really important. The online relationships is also, there's some information in here about how to develop the online relationships. LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is really the primary area that I would focus on online relationships with. I'm not talking about your Facebook or your Instagram. So Amy can get, I don't know if Amy, if you want to send the slides, but these give you tips. And I think it was Jeff from Philly that talked about how to keep the relationship going. I actually did a talk once to our alumni at my former organization, and it was managing your career while you are working. And one of the things I focused on was using LinkedIn. So these, some of the tips here might help you in that alumni to have them keep on using their whole network when they're working. So parting words, it's all about, you know, how about, well, can we hang up and meet? Would you meet face-to-face? Yeah, let's do it. Once again, this is the social media part of this relationship building. I'm not quite sure how much of your population would be using social media, but you might have people use social media as a way to engage in conversation, to take it to the next level, especially your introverts and also your people that aren't as confident. Have them take one little step at a time. I'll leave with Dale Carnegie's, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can 2 years getting people interested in you. And this, I believe, is really the key to this whole networking, that it isn't about, I'm gonna ask you, it isn't about being needy, it's really finding other people of common interest, showing interest in them more so than you, and magic appears. So I want to be mindful of the time here. I know we've had some conversation and there's a lot that we did cover. But remember, it's the relationship part, and let's focus on the relationship, which networking is part of that. Networking is part of that. So I'd love to have any questions that people have about, if they have any scenarios or situations that they would want to share that might need some advice on how to deal with, I'd gladly respond to the answer.
Thank you, Jane. Jane, you left off one quote that I'd like to share. It is on the PowerPoint that we will share with everyone, and it's a nice one. So success is about the people you meet, how you treat them, how they treat you, what they say about you when you're not in the room, and how you make them feel. So that was nice. I think that's a nice focus on this process. Thank you so much. So let me open it up again, as Jane offered. Are there situations? Do you want to chat again about any of that before we wrap up the call? Does anybody have any thoughts or final feedback about this whole process of networking and what Jane has shared, what you want to share in addition? Anything people want to share? I can look at your chats, or you can hopefully unmute yourself. I don't think Lisa tied it up. Anything people want to add? Okay. So let me say,
I just want to say thanks. I'm sorry. I had it on mute myself.
Go ahead, Nelda.
This is Nelda. I just want to say thank you. That was really a wonderful presentation, and I learned some things, so thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Nelda. Thank you.
Nelda, you can see Jane in person in Boston, so that's great.
Oh, yeah.
She's a neighbor, yeah.
Yeah.
She's from Boston. Great.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Okay. All right.
I have a question for Jane. Jane,
oh, perfect.
Do you see a difference, or do you adjust your advice a little bit differently based on people's generations?
Absolutely. Oh my goodness me, yes. Because I focus on early to mid-career professionals, and as a matter of fact, I just had a conversation with a client this week, and I talked about this whole process, and she says, I've never heard it presented that way. Well, I didn't think that she would. But one of the things I focus more on is the social media, and I focus a lot on the follow-up, because the follow-up is what they don't do well. They can do the beginning part. I feel that is pretty good, but it's the follow-up. And the follow-up could be their kiss of death, as I call it. So you're absolutely right that generationally, you know, I didn't ask them to say I received the email, But, you know, we want to know, did you get it? So like everything else, we adjust our coaching to our audience, but now I think we adjust it to generations.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, great. So so let me close by thanking Jane for presenting to us and for sharing the information.
Thank you.
And also, as I said, we will get the PowerPoint out to you. And I guess I want to also encourage all of us. I think it was Lisa who said, Lisa A, you know, that she would not hesitate to network with anybody on this call. And I hope that people feel that way, because this is a that's a big part of what this group is about. That we can network with each other, that we can brainstorm with each other, that we can problem solve with each other, and that we reach out when needed, because we have this built-in network at the network, hence the name. And so we can really, really tap that resource. I do want to say make a couple of announcements. One about the fact that, as Lisa Smith said, please do send us any of your resources so we can share them related to networking or otherwise. And also, I wanted to make a little plug for our upcoming calls. Sorry. Before I do that, though, Sarah, is there anything you want to share? Or, you're good?
Good.
Okay. All right. So thank you, Sarah, too, for being on the call and for co-coordinating. So February 12th is our next call, and we're going to be hearing from Michelle Martin, who is part of the New Start Career Network at Rutgers. Many of you may have heard of her, you know her work. And she's going to be talking about some really innovative programming and ideas that they've either done through the New Start Career Network at Rutgers, or that she's actually doing with some other collaborators herself. So she's really got some really interesting and really good ideas around work that I think is going to be relevant for all of us, no matter what the population is that you'll be working with. And then on March 18th, I think she is no longer on the call, but Elizabeth White and I are going to be doing a conversation. So we're going to be doing something a little bit different. I'm going to be doing more like an interview with Elizabeth. I have some questions I'm going to ask her, and then she's going to respond to those questions. And then we're going to open it up for people to ask questions themselves. So Elizabeth has done a lot of work around older adults facing uncertain work and financial insecurity. She wrote a book, you may recall, called 55, Underemployed and Faking Normal. She has been working in the business sector. She's been working in the government sector. She's been working in the nonprofit sector. And she has a lot of personal experience with this topic. And she's her book is really, really valuable. She's put together these programs that have to do with resilience circles. She can talk about that too, which we will talk about. And so she'll be joining us on March 18th. So that's February 12th and March 18th. And we look forward to having you all be part of those calls and tell your other friends at NJHSA. And I think with that,
Amy, before your final, I just want to make a final comment. So, but yes. Before you hang up.
Okay, go ahead. I was going to thank everybody. Okay. So go ahead.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank you, Amy, for the opportunity for me to talk about my book and the topic of relationship building. And it's available on Amazon, both in Kindle and also paperback. So if you wanted to purchase it, it's out there in Amazon.
Great. So thank you so much. When we send the PowerPoint, we'll put that Amazon link too, Jane.
Oh, great. Fabulous. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. What a great group you all are.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a good day.